Heights and Mights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Heights and Mights podcast. Heights and Mights.
Look at the pod. It is cast. We've got ourselves a podcast. Oh, my cat didn't. My cat didn't like that at all. Oh, my cat's looking through her looking hole, and that was very upsetting for her. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Once again, Pod Dad Hal is out on vacation. We love that for him. I am up Danielle Radford, and I am joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, Kelk Wright, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello.
Hello. We're doing it. Okay, so before we talk about wrestling, I have to talk about F9. It does have John Cena in it. It's kind of like wrestling.
It's at least wrestling adjacent, if not actually wrestling.
Danielle, don't you mean F you?
Oh, you stop it. You put that in the script just so you could make that joke, didn't you? I know
I
you too well,
you.
Julian. Yeah, you did. you ain't gotta lie, Julian. You ain't gotta lie.
This is a safe space. You can tell us your truth.
No spoilers, but it doesn't, like, most of the spoilers and stuff happened in the commercials and in the trailer, and it doesn't matter. The most important thing to know is that Tyrese goes to space and no one knows why, and it's amazing. John Cena was really good in this. I love that Vin Diesel decided that a young Vin Diesel was about 20 inches taller than a young John Cena, which was clearly proven wrong as soon as they got into the same room together. Family, coronas, cars. I had the best time. I went with a group of writers. I'm not popular, but I went with my buddy Iffy. He's been on the show.
Push up.
No.
Super popular.
Iffy's been on the show. And so, like, I go places with him sometimes, and it's like, oh, this is what it's like to be super fucking popular. Oh, this is what that is. So it was super fun. And I highly, if you love the things that make wrestling work, if you have questions about magnets and how they work, this is the movie for you. You won't get answers.
I have so many questions about magnets because I fucking love a magnet. It's a real throwback from being a kid. I've never got over it. I've never got over how much I fucking love a magnet.
Kelk, this is magnet heavy. You would love this movie. There's so many magnets.
I do think we need to table this for Max Fun Drive next year. Julian, if you're taking notes, Okay, and I don't even know how this is possible because you know me, Danielle. I will watch anything.
It's true.
Anything. And I have never seen a Fast movie all the way through. I've seen the end of the one where Paul Walker drives to heaven.
Yes.
1,000 times because it's routinely on before Raw. So I've seen that 2 seconds.
And it will
so
make you tear
times.
Up if you know the context. Like, you will
and if
super
you, if
cry.
You, if you don't know the context, it won't. I'll tell you that for nothing. Like, why is this just turned into Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Which would make a great title for F10, is all I'm saying. I'm just, you know, let's play with that. Let's workshop something. But maybe next year, maybe we need to, like, make me watch some of them and have you talk me through. Because it is wrestling. I do think Fast and Furious is basically an extension of the WWE universe. That's how I see it 100%.
This is what I was born for.
Yeah.
This is why you're on this earth. This is why I was on this earth. Yes, I definitely think that we have to, Julian, table it.
Give out magnets next year for Max Fun Drive. That'd be fun. Nice little Tights and Fights magnet.
Oh my God. It's not just me, right? Every kid was obsessed with magnets.
Oh, I had a magnet kit with one of the actual, because I had to have one of those U-shaped ones that you see in the cartoons, and I would not allow anything else.
The red and white one?
Yeah. I had to have one of those. I had a magnet kit, my friend.
Little kidney bean magnets. So the...
But do kids still love magnets? I feel like an old nana. I'm like, do children today still love magnets? Do they still play magnets in the streets? We didn't play it in the streets. But there was, I mean, I'm totally going off topic and we're never getting onto wrestling today. Julian can cut this. But with the Euros being on right now, which obviously is important to my people, when I was little, they made these little round collectible magnets. And there are listeners in the UK flipping out right now, but they had footballers' faces on. So it was like sticker collecting, but they were little round magnets. And it was literally the most highly prized thing that you could ever get. And I always wondered why they didn't do it with wrestling. because wrestling stickers were so huge. Imagine little round, like marbles, but magnets.
Oh,
the greatest thing to have ever existed.
I know for boy bands, we had kites.
Yeah. That's less portable than a magnet.
It's kind of huge, and kites are very difficult. And I tried to learn how to do one with Joey McIntyre's face, and it just wasn't.
Oh, he was my new kid.
He was my new kid. He was the best of the new kids.
We're soulmates. Welcome to Tights and Fights, a podcast about magnets.
We'll get to wrestling eventually, but first we had to talk about magnets.
Welcome to Kites and Fights.
There it is. Pew, pew, pew. This is a segue that should have happened 20 minutes ago, but that's fine. But looking back on Cena's career, one of his biggest rivals was Edge. And now Edge is back on SmackDown. He's going to take on Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank.
It's him! He's here! The rated R superstar Edge is here! You gotta be kidding me!
How are you feeling about that, Lindsay? I know that you get really excited when you get your Edge on the TV.
I do. I love my Edge because I feel like I was denied the bulk of my Edge love. Like when I came back to wrestling in the mid to late 2000s, Edge was like my boy. He was my pick. He was, you know, the reason I tuned in, because I was like, oh, I like him. He's funny and cute, and I like what he does in the ring. And then before I knew it, he was taken from us by injury, and it made me sad. So I'm pumped to see him back. I just love to watch him perform. Like,
yeah,
I love anyone that is that passionately intense about what they do. I think he is a stellar performer. I think his acting is, like, incredible now. Now, not that it wasn't, but I think, like, he's doing a really good job with the actings, because he does that.
Yes, for a living.
Yeah, and I think his in-ring work is great. I think he looks great. And every second that he's out now, I feel like he wants to murder someone.
Yes. Yeah, no, I totally believe him in his acting now. I'm just remembering back to, like, the old school, I want to drink your blood Edge. And, of course, that was the one that I fell in love with because I was a kid. And I, too, wanted him to drink my blood. Blood baths were the sexiest thing in the world to me, and it was so weird.
We are who we are, the unholy trio, and we will become what we will become.
Show me a 40-year-old woman that doesn't have a Google search history that includes Elizabeth Bathory, and I will show you a liar. A liar, I say. Yeah, it's a good job I wasn't watching then, because I just would, I would never have come out. I would still be in my bedroom in Doncaster researching Edge. It's a good job I tapped out so that I could have a career.
I just sliding around my bedroom floor, just bad. But yeah, like his acting has gotten so much better. Like it's great watching him flourish. Even in a Money Train, which didn't use him. Money Plane, sorry. Money Train's a different movie.
Money Train, surely on its way. I mean, not the original, but still.
But a new one. Like, just watching his progress has been, for me, someone who's been a longtime fan, it's been pretty amazing. And then speaking of people who've been doing this for a minute, last week we talked a lot about Drew McIntyre. We gave him our whole main event. And we were like, I wonder if he's done with the main event scene for a while. And whelp. This was spelled by Julian, by the way, with the H, so I have to pronounce it whelp.
It's a whole whelp.
Whelp. He's back. Say that 10 times fast. He's back in the Money in the Bank ladder match. How are you feeling about that? I'm excited. I think that I don't know if he'll get the Money in the Bank, but I do think that maybe it wouldn't be the worst call.
I mean, will he have the sword? Is he going to have the sword during the match? Can he chop a ladder?
I want him to chop down the briefcase, and I don't know.
Oh, I didn't, and now I do.
I don't know about sword versus chain, but I like to believe that sword is, well, no, because there's such a thing as chainmail. We need science. Well, yeah, if you know science, go ahead and at us with this and let us know if sword can go against chain.
As someone who will watch excluding a Fast and Furious movie, I've watched a lot of episodes of Forged in Fire.
Yes.
So I am here to tell you, I believe there are edges that can cut through chain. But, I mean, he's going to have to take some time in the home forge. He's really going to have to work at this. And they're going to have to slice a pig in two first. If no one's watched Forged in Fire, go watch it, because it's one of the greatest, most terrible. Julian and I were having a conversation about conservative media prior to recording this podcast. So if you ever want to see a bunch of white folks who've definitely voted for Donald Trump, go check out Forged in Fire and have yourself a time, but just do it knowing what you know. But yeah, get that sword out and then I'm into it. I'm not mad. Like, I love him and I want to see him work. Mm-hmm. On one hand, I'm like, Money in the Bank is a great time to bring in newer talent. But also you have to have a certain number of super established people in it to make it feel important. And I love that he is now someone that makes things feel important. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm still trying to figure out how the sword chain thing works. Like, do you have to blow on the chain to make it hot? You know what? We'll take this offline. We also had AEW back on Wednesday nights for the first time in a little while. I again, don't have cable and suffered through a 2-day migraine. So I'm going to need to lean on you a little bit here, Lindsay. Did you get a chance to watch?
I watched it on Friday and I watched it on Wednesday, and I'm waiting for my medal to arrive in the post, and hasn't come yet because I watched 2 AEWs in like 4 days, and that's so much AEW. So the Friday show, I really enjoyed Kenny Omega, Jungle Boy. I thought that was really fun. I love that they're lining him up as a future superstar. I love the way they speak about Jungle Boy as being like the up and coming, and that Kenny acknowledged him in his promo this week as the up and coming talent. I love that they do that. I also think that that's partly because they must know if WWE has a list, he's got to be like very near the top of it, right?
Yeah.
Like this 24 super hot, super stud son of Luke Perry. Vince has literally sat with the fucking, it's not even a check, it's just instant deposit. He's gonna Venmo him all his money. It's like, if Biden's got Venmo, Vince has got Venmo. Like, I just think they're just waiting for him to accept. It's just in his Venmo account. And then, yeah, this week's Wednesday's episode, I thought, was not the worst episode of AEW I'd ever seen. I enjoyed the tag with Britt and Rebel versus Vicky and Nyla. I was, you know, Vicky? But okay, you know, I'm never going to be upset about Vicky Guerrero getting screen time, because I love Vicky Guerrero for the most part, apart from some of her political views. And I really enjoyed the Elite's facial hair. That's a good time. I was a little bit confused as to why the Dark Order came out to challenge Kenny on Adam Page's behalf instead of Adam Page doing it. But I guess that's the thing, that he's going to be like, I don't care, I don't want to do it. And they're going to be like, well, you're doing it. I don't know if Kenny's going to lose to Adam Page, but I don't know. I truly don't know. So I like not knowing. I like when AEW is unpredictable. And I like the facial hair.
I saw a bit of the facial hair. It's very, I feel like they want to play a game. I'm not sure if it's the game, but I definitely feel like they want to play one.
Yeah. It's like they've seen a game. They're familiar with games. and they're curious about the game. It feels like a being the Elite. I'm sad that Pod Dad isn't here to discuss it, because he might hate it because he hasn't got so much being the Elite background as you and I have had. And I'm curious as to whether or not that works if you're not familiar with the shenanigans they used to get up to online.
Julian, put it in the notes for next week. He's not getting away.
I feel like if you don't know anything about the weird stuff that they would do, it works as a heel move anyway.
Right.
Because it's such a giant 70s mustache is a heel move. It's such a heel, mutton chops are a heel move.
Yes.
There's no two ways about it. I do have to say I'm trying to be really positive about my AEW coverage. And if I don't have anything nice to say, I don't say anything at all. But I do have to call them out on that celebration video. Because I wasn't fully paying attention. And then I thought it was a Brody Lee, like, retrospective. And I was like, oh, this is nice that they're honoring him before they leave Daly's place. And this is going to be lovely. And then I realized there was some Cody in there too. Just a bunch of shots of the inner circle all stood in a line. Like a bunch of shots of that, like over and over and over. And here's Paige riding a horse. I'm like, oh, wait, this is just a recap of the year. Okay. I meant to go back and rewatch it and check the timings, but I don't hate myself that much. But I went over the video is like 3 minutes long, and it was well over a minute before we got a single clip of the women's division. And not to bang a drum, because that drum needs to be re-skinned. but I mean, every single week, it's like they reinforce it. Every single week, they're like, yep, we don't give a shit. It made me sad that they can't even pretend to care in their own celebratory video. It had 3 clips from the women's division, all of which were like 2 seconds long.
50% of the population.
Yeah. Like a 6 minute, a 3 minute video with 3 2-second clips of the women's division.
Tight.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't include the 2 second clip of Cody and Brandy's pregnancy announcement. Oh, which made it in. But yeah, mustaches were great. Mustaches were a grand old time. Loved it.
Love a mustache. So now we're going to talk about NXT. You had some big time thoughts about Karrion Kross's jacket, and I want to hear them all.
I feel so bad. People are listening to this going, like, do they talk about the wrestling? It's like, sometimes.
No, this is, look, if you're in for a penny, in for a fucking pound, if you're listening to this podcast, you know exactly what we're doing, especially when I'm hosting. I'm sorry, Danielle Radford hosting means an off of the rails episode.
I mean, we've only talked about sliding around your bedroom one time so far, so they should be prepared, in fairness. Karrion Kross was wearing a terrible jacket. Terrible, terrible, terrible pleather blazer that I feel like I would have been super into circa 2002, 2003. I'm trying to think when we all had denim blazers. Do you remember when we all had fitted denim blazers?
Oh God, we all had, we had those, or we had vests, and that yeah. to me is like the
it was
crowning
the early 2000s.
Of, yeah, early 2000s. Oh, I loved a little black vest. Yeah, like a tiny
I had my
little one
fitted Oof. Denim blazer that had almost like a peplum back, like
oh
stuck
God,
out a little bit, because it's like I'm fancy in a fitted blazer, but it's denim because I'm edgy. I got massive vibes of that from this. Why is he wearing pleather? Unless he's vegan and he is like morally opposed to it, that man should never wear pleather. His lovely lady companion can wear pleather because I know who her character is, but he should only wear actual leather. He should only have murdered animals to make his clothing.
Or
all
not
of his clothing should
or
be dead animals.
Don't do it, then just do a cotton blend. I was just thinking about this, like, it's wild that Scarlett has more of a character than he does, and she doesn't
Isn't
really
it?
Do shit.
Yeah, she just stands around pouting. I mean, looking incredible.
Yeah.
Looking incredible. But while he is the champion, and I still don't know what he does, apart from be that super annoying big fella at the pub who your dad always says hi to, but is like, I fucking hate that guy. You know, he's like, oh, all right, Karrion. All right. Yeah. How you been? Oh, okay. Yeah. No, love to your missus. And then as he walks away, he's like, he's such a shit house. Like, everyone hates him, but they're nice to his face.
I've dated that guy.
Yeah. We've all at least thought about it. Do you know what I mean? I will say the storytelling this week on that was fucking masterful. Full chef's kiss. Johnny has been full heel for so long now. And he walked out and with that one promo walking to the ring, repositioned himself as the face in this feud.
You think I'm afraid of you? Do you know who the hell I am? Last week, the big, bad NXT champion jumped me from behind like a coward. And this week, I'm gonna beat you at your own game.
And he's still the way, he's still evil Johnny. But when you put him up against Karrion, it's just like impossible not to love him. I really want Johnny to win. I don't know if he will. I want those two sweet baby Gargano kids to be able to tap some titles again.
Yes, please.
So I'm into it. And then give Austin the US title and let the way hold all of the gold. All of it. Please.
They need all of it at some point, right?
Right? Even if they don't give Candice the women's title and they just have the tags, that's fine for me for now. I can accept that. I'm just like very in love with NXT again. Mm-hmm. It didn't take much. Last week I was kind of like, I feel like maybe we're in fallow ground. And then this week I'm like, title changes. Like, Johnny in the main event. Io versus Candice. Give me everything.
Give you everything.
Oh, I love it.
One more. So it does look like we had the mixed tag of Mercedes Martinez and Jake Atlas. It's continuing for a minute. They did lose to Xia Li and Boa. Boa. Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about
That's
your
thing.
Ruthless aggression.
I know. I feel like they must have had a meeting where they were like, guys, we kept the shirt on Roman Reigns for way too long. So let's just get Boa out there. Let's just put him out there and make this happen. It's really unfortunate as to how the match ended.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know Xia Li has had an incident before with injuring Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
Although how much that was actually a genuine terrible, terrible injury and how much of that was Aaliyah popping off to get some stuff done, because Aaliyah got a bunch of stuff done when that happened. But obviously she clocked Mercedes with that kick. She really took her out, and that's kind of scary. But without having seen any official response to that, let's assume Mercedes is okay and discuss the match on its merits. And those two looked like they would just tear through anything. And it was amazing. Her new gear too. Can we just, oh man, my big problem with Xylee has been the sequins and the weird Vegas showgirlness of it all.
Right.
This new, like, I hope she took Carrion's jacket backstage and was like, I'm going to have to take this from you and turn it into badass amazing women's gear because you look stupid. And woof, what a match.
Yeah, great, great match. And then Isaiah Swerve Scott beat Bronson Reed for the North American title. Hit Rose, got some gold.
They got some gold. A record, but it is a belt. I wanted to be sad about it because I love Bronson Reed so much, but I think he's going, I don't want to say up, I guess over.
Around.
He's going over, right? I think
sideways,
he's going around.
Left.
He's going around our way. I think he's transitioning over to the other side. And I guess that's good. I know it's always in our instinct as an NXT lovers to be like, oh no, don't go. But it's their dream, right? I always try to remember that. Like, it's his dream
and
to be on the main roster.
They make more money. And hey, you know what? You can't win. It's the same thing that someone told me about moving to LA, because I think it's the same kind of thought where if you are, I'm sure you got some of this when you moved too. People are like, stay where you are, help build up the scene, all of that stuff. But at a certain point, you have to go. And what a mentor of mine told me is you can't win if you don't play. And so you got to get up on that main roster and then just see what happens, because who knows? It could be that you land like a wet fart. It could be that you surprise everyone and you have no idea how that's going to work for you until you start selling them t-shirts.
Truly, truly. And you look at the main roster now and so much of it is made up from former NXT talent that you can't just say, like, well, they ruin everyone. It's like, they don't ruin everyone. They ruin the majority of people. Don't go lumping the whole gang in together.
Yeah, Bianca Belair's doing fine.
Doing fine. Seth Rollins doing fine. Like, all these people doing fine. Kevin Owens doing okay. Sammy mostly fine. You know, it's like all these people at NXT. Shinsuke's in a storyline at last. Baron Corbin's on TV every fucking 2 seconds. Like, there's every chance that he's going to go up and do well. It might take him a minute to figure it out. There might be some stumbling blocks. But if this is what he has always wanted and he's going to get it, then fuck yeah, let him have it. And in that case, like, fine. I think Hit Row does need a belt. Like, you can't have that swagger and arrogance and not back it up. It's almost the same vibe as Legado, right? Like, you need to have gold for a while to establish you if you're going to be that arrogant. Plus, I got some really great memeable moments of people being thrown through walls, and I happen to love that.
I do love a throwing through walls. If you've got any thoughts about all the things we've talked about, specifically wall throwing, find us on social channels in our show notes. Oh, we're not listing all of those individually. Find us on our channels and show notes. When we come back, it's time to look at one of the best promos ever on its 10th anniversary. All right, Julian, that's up next on Tights and Fights. I love the editorializing. It makes me so happy.
One, two, three, five. Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors. And
nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor, and I'm a medical enthusiast, and we create Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week, I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately, we do a lot of modern fake medicine, because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
Hey, Lindsay. Wow, have the last 16 months been rough, am I right?
They sure have. We have had a pandemic. We've had political turmoil. It's been a rough news cycle, and that was all last week.
Well, in 2021, it's finally okay to talk about our mental health, and that's why we're excited to be sponsored by BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions. They'll match you with a therapist in under 48 hours, and it's easy to change therapists if needed.
Remember, you don't have to have a traumatic event to benefit from therapy. Maybe you're feeling anxious or depressed, or your stress feels like it's too hard to manage. Trust me, I get it. Get some tools to cope and make your life just a little bit easier. I've said this before, but it's just like, look, if there, I know that there are stigmas in just the world about going to see a therapist. It's literally someone that has to listen to you talk for an hour. And that could be about anything. It could be about trauma. It could be about what you went through that day. It could be about your favorite show, but it's just about having someone there to support you and let you know that your feelings are valid and to talk mm-hmm. to you through that stuff. And like, what is better than that?
Right. Having been in therapy on and off for at least a decade now, I would say, I let things get real bad before I started going. And now I don't let things get real bad before I start going. I just try and go because it's really important to have that person to listen to you. Can confirm they will also listen to you talk about wrestling. I have talked to each and every single therapist I've ever had about wrestling. So I invite you to do the same. Plus, the great thing about BetterHelp in particular is it is a lot more affordable than a lot of in-person therapy, but it can be just as effective. So it is an option. So you should check it out and see if it's for you.
Once again, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Tights and Fights listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/tights. That's better, HELP.com/tights.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we're going to give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock. Oh! Whoa! Holy shit!
Oh, it's live, pal.
I can't believe you didn't get in the WWE Dynamite. I really feel like that's natural. And if someone hasn't already got that name for a podcast, I implore you, get out there and make your WWE Dynamite podcast.
It's time. It's time it's for you time. To have your podcast. If you've been waiting and sitting on, when should I start my podcast? Now is the time. All right. So 10 years ago, CM Punk set the wrestling world aflame with a promo that would later be known as the Pipe Bomb.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Last week was the 10th anniversary of the promo, so we're going to take a look back at this and why it gets so much attention. Just to set the scene. Okay, let me get dramatic really quick. Just to set the scene, CM Punk's contract was legitimately running out. And before he left, he was going to face John Cena for the WWE Championship at Chicago Money in the Bank. Kelk, do you remember where you were and how you felt the first time you saw the pipe bomb?
I do, because I was deep, deep back into my wrestles by then. And I was in New York and I was the biggest CM Punk fan. Like the biggest CM Punk fan. Edge was my gateway back in. Mm. And then Punk was like where I developed a problem. Like I fucking loved CM Punk. Picture 30-year-old Kelk living in fucking Brooklyn, obviously. Williamsburg to make it the worst it could possibly be. Going to see bands every night, thinking she was the coolest girl in the world, then secretly scurrying home to watch wrestling and not telling everyone. And then suddenly CM Punk arrives. And it's like, wait. Suddenly, this is okay. Suddenly, I'm telling people about this guy who's in WWE, who's amazing, who's not like everyone else. He's so cool. And I bought into it hook, line, and sink. I bought into it more than he bought into it. But yeah, I remember it very, very clearly. I watched it and remember sat there being like, oh, fully aware of kayfabe, fully aware of what is and isn't allowed, fully aware that if this was not okay, it wouldn't be happening. But still buying into every single word of it.
Pipe Bomb brought me back into wrestling because I was hearing about it everywhere. Like I was following Deadspin just because like they're trash, but it was good trash. And so I would follow like some of their sports takes and like some of their stuff on the Seahawks. Obviously nothing on a basketball team because I don't have one. And no, I'm not bitter about that at all. Nope, not even a little bit bitter about not having a basketball team. We're doing great in MLS. So
that's true, though.
It's true. So when I saw that, like, Jim Rome and all of these, like, serious wrestling journalists were talking about this promo, I was like, this dude worked the world. All of these people should know better. We all know that wrestling is fake. And yet he worked everyone. So that was enough for me to, like, get back on the train and start talking about wrestling again and start, like, re-hanging out with my, like, not that I wasn't hanging out with my wrestling friends, but hanging out at them with, like, watching wrestling nights and doing all of that stuff. Cause that was enough for me to be like, if it's this good now, where it's enough that they're like fooling people that should know better, I gotta watch. Like, this has to be something that I'm putting in my, you know, weekly watch list. I love reading these. These are just supposed to be asides in the script for us so that we sound smart. But Julian researches these, so I like going ahead and saying things like, fun fact, this was similar to the Summer of Punk angle that ran in Ring of Honor back when he first signed with WWE and threatened to go there with the ROH Championship, right down to his use of the pipe bomb phrasing. Another fun fact, Punk also says he hates the phrase pipe bomb after WWE ran it in the ground. What the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, stop using it then, you dumb baby. Like, why would you use it more than one time if you don't, yeah, like, you know where you work. You know where you work, sir.
As I believe it was Dean Ambrose, you gave them a noun. I believe that's what he said. You gave them a noun and you gave them a phrase. And of course it almost became a catchphrase because that's what the fuck they do, my dude. You know better than this. You know better than we do. I've never drawn money. You know how this works.
But this is now what we've come to know as the irony of Punk, right? Is that he is so self-aware and yet utterly unself-aware at the same time. Like, so cognizant of everything that's happening in the machine around him, but somehow so narcissistic that he seems to think it shouldn't apply to him, which is why all of this works so well.
Yes.
Because even though it's a work, it's also a shoot. Like, he does believe it.
Yes.
Even though he knows it's a work. He didn't go out there and say this place is going to be better once Vince dies without running that past Vince.
And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
And Vince, the living monster that he is, went, oh yeah, that's good shit. They'll love that. Say that bit. Say that bit. Say that. He's in gorilla, like, rubbing one out, saying, like, get there, get there, get there.
Does Vince have a humiliation fetish? Like, is that part of it?
100%.
Because we've put him in a toilet, like, there's the either him kissing someone's ass or someone else kissing his ass. I'm just putting it out there. I think that he might more than, and I think that the money part is connected to it. It's like, oh, I get to be humiliated and I get to make $100. Wah, 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 wah. That's my, that's the sound I make when I'm doing fapping noises. Wah, 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 wah,
there's
wah,
a reason Blue Chew aligns itself with wrestling, and it's not because it's worried about the performance and sexual pleasure of its fans. It's
performance
Vince
center.
Is just, right? It's because Vince is definitely getting off on people saying and doing shitty, horrible things to him. Did we ever see more proof of it than in this storyline? I mean, yes, loads of times over and over. But, I mean, it's nicely exemplified here for us.
For sure. So this led to a critically acclaimed match a couple weeks later. Punk won the title.
In 1 hour, in 14 minutes, CM Punk is no longer an employee of WWE. In 1 hour and 14 minutes, CM Punk is going to leave Chicago with the WWE Championship.
And he won the spinning belt.
He won the spinny belt. He jumped into the crowd. It was magical.
At the time, did not spin anymore.
Aww. I had a tiny baby version of the spinny belt, and I enjoyed spinning it. Sometimes I would just sit in my room and spin it.
Do you guys remember there's a famous part, like, this wasn't during the pipe bomb, but it was during this feud. It was, like, I think the, like, maybe 2 weeks later when he goes up against John Cena and has another promo, he says, and by the way, when I win it, I'm going to change that thing because it has been ugly for so long. And I know it's not his fault, but he definitely carried that thing around for 434 days. So it couldn't have been that ugly, Punk. You couldn't have hated it that much.
It's true. True.
It's true.
No, I remember this very clearly. I watched this. I paid for it on the pay-per-views and I watched it. And initially my first reaction was like, why is he wearing jeans? Because I liked his
action
little panties.
Jeans.
But it's a street fight, so he has to wear jeans. That's how you know it's a street fight. Oh, He's wearing
this
jeans.
This wasn't the street fight.
Oh, this isn't the street fight.
This is still him. This is still, he was wearing a big old t-shirt hiding over the panties.
Still on the giant t-shirt. He's still Donald Ducking it at this point.
Was it the Nexus shirt?
It was the famous white shirt with the black trim and the CM Punk with the Chicago flag. And that was...
It's a good shirt.
Don't talk to me like I don't own that shirt.
It was
Shut
the first WWE shirt that I bought, I think, in like 10 years because I loved it so much and when it was available to everybody.
I have a photo of me and my friend at WrestleMania 30, classic girls getting ready to go out photo, like photo in the mirror, except we're going out to WrestleMania. My friend Lorna is wearing the Punk t-shirt and we had to toss for who was going to wear it because I refused to have us both wearing the Punk t-shirt. I'm like, that's too far. We've driven. She'd flown from London and I'd flown from New York, and then we had driven from Nashville to New Orleans to attend Mania. And I'm like, we're not both going and matching Punk t-shirts. We can't. That's a line in the sand. And I ended up having to wear my WrestleMania 30 t-shirt. But yeah, I embraced that t-shirt and wore it to death. It initiated many pleasing conversations in New York City.
You do love a ringer shirt.
I do love a ringer t-shirt.
You do love a ringer t-shirt. So when you look at where Punk went after this, there was the return, the feud with Triple H and John Laurinaitis. Do we feel like WWE capitalized on the pipe bomb as well as they could have? I don't think they did, because it just became another promo. And then suddenly everything was a fucking pipe bomb. You had when AJ went against the women later, where they called that a pipe bomb, even though like it wasn't. Suddenly you couldn't just cut a good promo anymore. Everything becomes a pipe bomb. And then that kind of brought in this very, like, I don't want to say forced, but it brought in the reality era, which in my opinion, it doesn't work if you're working us, you guys. And you can see the strings by the time it got to the
and
reality
that's the
era.
Thing. That's the difference between Punk and everyone else that did it. Everyone else was reading their lines. Punk was writing his lines and they were approved, I know, but this is why it worked, because it was authentic and we felt it and we knew it. And the fact that they just made pipe bomb a thing, like, I mean, it just became part of the vernacular, and that's what happens in a fandom. That's what happens. Like, something gets used once and then eventually it's just part of our language of how we talk to each other. And I know he hates it because he wants it to be his thing to be the pipe bomb. That was the one moment. But if you're popular enough and you're good enough, your shit gets diluted down until everyone else does it. So
you have to put it on a t-shirt.
Right, exactly. It is what WWE is. That is what it is. I think with a view to, did they capitalize on it well enough? I mean, he was champion for more than 400 days. And that's why I think the Punk stuff has always been so complicated, because you love to cheer for him. You love the idea of him being the voice of the voiceless. You love him being the guy that reps you. He's the guy that loves what he does and does it because he's the best in the world and he knows it and he's not going to let the man hold him down.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst cashing the check from the man every single week, saying he's coming back because he wants to change things from the inside. And back to your point earlier, saying, you know, you can't stay where you are and build up the scene. You have to get into the machine and change the machine.
Mm-hmm.
He was all in on that until he wasn't.
And speaking of cashing checks, he had so many that he just forgot to cash some of them.
He found checks in his sofa. Let us never forget. That might have been when I turned on him. That might have been when I'm like, oh, you want to sign that check over to me, motherfucker? And I'm not saying that they didn't treat him poorly. Obviously they did, but you worked for a corporation. You know where you're at.
Yep.
You agreed to it, and then you wanted everything on your terms, and they said no thank you. He did. And we talked on Instagram to some of our listeners, and a couple of people had the same feeling, which I was interested to see. Lost Wolfling on Instagram said it's been rendered meaningless, Punk's failure to work for change outside of WWE. And I think I feel that a little bit. And she also pointed out, you know, he also came back to work for Fox. And he was like, I'm not working for WWE. I'm on backstage, but it's for Fox.
God, that was so funny.
I don't work for WWE. And it's like,
he couldn't find his light.
Oh, I know. It's like, this is your mark, Phil. Maybe I do know why he couldn't make it as an actor. Like, couldn't find his light. It's the first thing they teach you on Top Model.
You gotta find your light.
Jesus.
And we also asked some other listeners what they thought about the pipe bomb on social media. Now, Kristen said that she loved how real it felt and that was the thing that got her back into wrestling. I understand. Lucas echoed that and said the WWE kept trying to replicate that same energy, but he'll never forget the original. Yeah, absolutely. Fucking complete same. Hard same. Matt on Facebook said that the pipe bomb sparked a conversation with his girlfriend about the wrestling they watched as kids, and eventually it led to them attending WrestleMania 33 as husband and wife. Oh, CM Punk helped bond that couple. I love that.
I want to think that he would also love that, but I don't know if it's true.
I don't know if trash. It is.
So I don't know.
Let us know what you thought about the pipe bomb on all of our social media networks via the link in our show notes. When we come back, we've got three things from the world of wrestling that you should know about. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Strange planets, curious technology, and a fantastic vision of the distant future. Featuring Martin Starr.
So we're going on day 14. Shuttle still hasn't come.
Aparna Nancherla.
The security system provides you with emotional security. You do the rest.
Echo Kellum.
Can you disconnect me or not?
Hari Kondabolu.
I'm staying.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jeffrey McGivern.
Could you play Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
It's The Outer Reach. Stories from beyond.
Now available for free at MaximumFun.org or anywhere you listen.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Bites. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we want to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Lindsay, what would you like to put over this week?
I am putting over those sweet summer babies, those princes of Maine, one prince of Maine, Breezango. Mm. We gotta. I mean, of all the releases, this one made me sad. Not angry, because I'm like, I'm so sad about it, but I'm not super surprised by it, you know? I'm like, Fandango's been injured so much. Breeze has never really been put in the spot he needed to be put in, I think. I mean, I do think he's someone where they dropped the ball on him and they just couldn't ever figure it out when he was so over. But I'm just really sad to see them go. And I just wanted to shout out the amazing work that they have done and the fact that they have always taken what they were given and absolutely killed it. In particular, their Twin Peaks spin out the riffs on Twin Peaks, which I watch regularly.
That leaves me with two questions. One, who kidnapped Fandango? And two, why didn't I just call you instead of record this? Now I have to find a way to get it to you. It's gonna take days. I don't really know how the mail works. But first, a damn fine cup of coffee.
I keep that in my digital self-care kit. It makes me very, very happy. I'm skirting over the fashion police of it all because ACAB, but they moved on from that. They moved on from that, and I think there was acknowledgement and respect. And I just love them, and I want to say thank you for everything they did for us.
Oh, I love that. All right, so I am putting over. Look, Trisha Parker, also known as Jordan Grace, is a delight on social media. And sometimes, y'all, we forget about the things that athletes put their bodies through when they are doing this thing that we love. Jordan was doing some deadlifts and showed a thing that happens to women, which a lot of the women in the comments are co-signing. She peed a little bit while she was doing deadlifts. And apparently that's a very, I wouldn't know, I don't do deadlifts. That's a very common thing. And she got some pushback and she's not like, look, it wasn't disgusting. It wasn't like she's like peeing all over the camera. It's just literally she's like doing her deadlifts and she stops and is like, ah, Jesus. And but it's just a moment of vulnerability that shows what athletes go through. Apparently, according to a lot of the comments, for men, it's poops. Like you're very likely to accidentally drop that deuce or come close to dropping a deuce while you're doing deadlifts. And remember, like all of the people who run marathons and who bike marathons They're not stopping to use the restroom, y'all.
Nope. They peeing on themselves morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night.
Just shit my britches, please, RT.
Yeah. She is stronger than anyone that I know or have ever met. And so I just wanted to put over like that moment of vulnerability because she's getting some shit over it because of course she is. She's getting a little bit of pushback. But I think that it's one of those things where we expect our athletes to be able to do so much with their bodies without actually acknowledging what it does to their bodies.
I've lifted heavy weights. And all I'm going to say is this is what happens when you lift heavy weights. And what you don't want to do is for it to happen in an Equinox in Glendale. Because the clientele will not be kind about it. Not be kind. So that's why ladies wear black workout pants. Move on.
See, exactly. Moving on. And now we're going to move on because we need to have a full count this week. We don't have... and also, thank you for sharing that, Lindsay. I just completely glossed over you sharing like a really vulnerable fucking moment. And here I am
totally
talking about
myself
what
deadlifting. I don't know if any woman who has lifted heavy weights has not peed themselves a little bit. My friends and I, because we're terrible people, refer to doing a tiny bit of wee accidentally as a lemony snicket. I invite you to do the same.
How dare you? Oh, well, that's in my brain forever now.
Forever.
That will never leave.
Forever.
Forever. All right, Julian. It's your turn. You gotta you gotta follow up our very vulnerable speaking with you to give us a full three count, but I'm excited to see how you do it.
With my favorite defecating while I was working really hard.
Yeah. I mean, one works harder than you,
no,
Julian.
Not yet. Not quite. I don't lift weights that are heavy enough to make me strain that much, but I have my personal trainer did and he's told me all about it.
Yay.
So I have two things. One, piggybacking on what Lindsay said with Fandango, they did have sort of their what turned out to be their final act. They hosted the WWE countdown of the best tag teams of all time on Peacock. It's actually really good. It's a lot of them doing the kind of the Fashion Files skit stuff, and they always committed to those bits no matter what. Like, I know that they never quite took them as far as maybe we would have liked, but they definitely they believed in everything that they were doing, and I think that they tried their best to make it entertaining, and it's good to see. And I think when I first saw the conclusion WWE came to with the best tag team in their company of all time, I was like, huh. And then I thought more and was like, yeah, makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. I like it. So look forward to that. I recommend going and watching that on Peacock. And the other thing, in honor of the CM Punk conversation, one of my favorite things about wrestling is whenever they put together the whole little video packages that go before the matches at the pay-per-views, because they cut out all the fat and they get straight to the drama. And like, we forget all about all the weird stuff that happened that like kind of might have messed it up. But you know what? When it's like they get to the story and the drama and they play it up with great music and stuff. And one of my favorite ones ever is CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank. It's like the editing, the drama, the graphics, the music that they chose. It's all just, it's so good. Tells a great story in 2.5 minutes. And, you know, hats off to that team. I don't think that they ever get the amount of credit that they should, but it's still just so great to see whenever they get it right. They just, so good.
Because all I've ever really wanted is this little microphone. See, this is power. I am the voice of the voiceless.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we rewatched that for this segment. And yeah, you can't talk enough about how great their post team is at putting together these vignettes. I truly believe that more people would get into wrestling if you would show them the vignettes that come, because that's always like when I watch WrestleMania with a crowd of people who doesn't watch wrestling, that's always their favorite part because it's so well done.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. All right, so that does it for this episode of Tights and Fight. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk along with me, Danielle Radford. Anybody else want anything that they want to plug?
I want to put over Danielle's comics.
Oh, stop.
I want to put over Danielle's comics, which are here behind me on this attractive shelf, which you can't see. But actually, no one can because they're too high, even for the Zoom. But you should get issue 3 of Agretzko's Meet My World. I'm like, welcome to my world. That's a song, Meet My World. Written by Danielle Radford. There's corgis and wrestling, and it's called Heel Turn. Of course it is. and I love it completely, and you should definitely get that.
Oh, thank you. Also, a night like this, I believe your cover is out. And is it Is it your first hardcover? Is that what
it is? Well, if you're in the UK, the cover is out, and it will be my first hardcover out in November. If you're in the US or Canada, it will be a paperback in January, and you haven't seen your cover yet. What a thrill! What a fucking thrill!
So excited! It's so sparkly.
So many options. So sparkly, so sparkly. That's all that matters.
I love it so much. It's such a pretty cover. It looks so good. Thanks. Very excited. Y'all, we write stuff.
Not just Wrestling Insight. We are writing actual words and stories and stuff. Woo!
We do it. Julian, is there anything that you want to put over?
You can listen to my other shows that I work on, the JV Club and Go Fact Yourself. Both of them got new episodes this week, so go on ahead and listen. If you need some more listening materials as you go out into the world and be safe and hopefully fully vaccinated and wearing your mask whenever you're around a bunch of people, because God, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh my God.
Yeah, for reals though. Our Julian is the Frohawk and the whole damn show hawk. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. And if you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and share us with all of your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. If you want to join them, remember the link is MaximumFun.org/join. Support Tights and Fights and earn great gifts in the process. And we'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.